next on NHL Fantasy on Ice. It's fantasy playoff time. Pete and Rob break down the schedules to give you a leg up on the competition. Waiver wire pickups that can win you the fantasy championship. Plus, what to do with the injured Erik Karlsson. And DFS targets for Tuesday's 10-game slate. Drop the puck. It's NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's going on, everybody? Pete and Rob here with you talking fantasy hockey at the start of the fantasy playoffs. Rob, we're well underway.
We are underway. It's here, finally here. Actually, it feels like it just came by yesterday when we were starting the season, getting the ranks in order. But playoffs are underway as of Monday in most standard leagues. And I think the number one thing people are asking us on Twitter today, how can I get ahead in the schedule?
So we did our top 200 rankings at the tail end of last week, post-trade deadline. So that's up now on NHL.com/fantasy. In terms of the schedule, that's a huge component moving forward in terms of the strength of schedule, the home road splits, and the total games remaining. And we have some help from the NHL stats crew, and we have a list of the most favorable, least favorable schedules, and the ones that jumped out at us.
All right, well, let's start by breaking it down by this week only. Let's look at the teams that play the most games. Now, the most would be Anaheim, Boston, Detroit, Florida, Los Angeles, and Pittsburgh. I excluded Calgary there because they play the Leafs on Monday night. So just basically take it as if they have three games if you're listening to this on Tuesday. So do any of those teams jump out to you, Pete, in terms of guys that you would add from any of those clubs?
To me, Pittsburgh. I think the urgency is up for Pittsburgh. They've been up and down for sure. A couple of their guys are in slumps, but we've seen some contributions recently from a Hornquist, mm-hmm. a Justin Schultz, even a Jared McCann, who's playing on the top line right now with Sidney Crosby and Jake Guentzel. And Brian Rust is injured for the foreseeable future. So to me, if I'm in a deep league, I know he's only center eligible, but I'm inclined to pick up a guy like that just because he plays with Sidney Crosby and just because they have four games this week.
And they have four games next week. So if you get McCann for eight games and he has exposure to Sidney Crosby for eight games, you have to figure at a bare minimum worst case scenario that that would be 4 points in eight games. I just think that anybody, if Crosby continues to produce above a point per game like he has over the last 10 or 15 games, you have to think that that's going to trickle down to a guy like McCann. Now, the only kicker I have with Pittsburgh is on the right side of the rink. They have Phil Kessel, who hasn't scored in 15 days. You have Patrick Hornquist, who's playing better lately, but he has very low goal totals this season. Brian Rust is out now. Dominic Simone was not producing on that right side. So there's something about the right side of the ice there that's not working, but the left side where McCann is right now, you can pick up and feel freely about that one.
And there's also Zach Aston-Reese, who's playing with Evgeny Malkin. So, and he has a little bit more position flexibility and hits a little bit. So yeah, Schultz, Aston-Reese, McCann, who came over in the Bukestad trade, and I guess we could lump Bukestad into that mix as well as a flexible forward. He hasn't been producing at a high level or anything, but I think has that single game potential, especially for DFS.
Now, a team that kind of sneaks under the radar there is Detroit. I don't think they have as much appeal after the trade deadline as they did before, but now I think Dylan Larkin's still producing really well. I looked at their lines today. Anthony Mantha's on the top right wing spot alongside Larkin, and then Tyler Bertuzzi's on the left side. Do you think Mantha maybe has some under-the-radar streaming appeal for the playoffs, or would you maybe say Detroit is in that kind of bad team territory and you would pass on that?
It really depends on what your league format is. I mean, if plus-minus doesn't matter, then absolutely pick up Anthony Mantha. He's playing with Larkin. He's on a 5-game point streak. There's a lot to like about him. In terms of scoring from the back end, there's Mike Green, but he'll derail your plus-minus. So that's how you approach a team like that. It's how you approach a team like Ottawa, any of the LA Kings. I mean, there's one league that our joint league, Anze Kopitar, we haven't played him in a couple of games now because he's a liability at this point. You look at the name, you look at what he did last year, it doesn't matter. If he's going to hurt your short-term fantasy hopes for the rest of the season, final month, final couple of weeks, as long as it lasts, that's a no-go for me.
And a cool thing about this, too, is if you have a handcuffed goalie tandem like the Boston Bruins, if you have Yaroslav Halak in your league and you also have Tuukka Rask, you can feel good about Boston having four games on the schedule because both of those goalies are in our top 25 goalie ranks, including top five for Tuukka Rask. So if you have those two guys, you have to be feeling good when you see they have a handful of games on the schedule any given week.
Definitely. And one of the other great goalie tandems right now, the Carolina Hurricanes. But now as we move forward to the strength of schedule, this is where it gets tricky. Carolina right now entering Monday's games, they do not play Monday. They have the third most difficult schedule. They have more home games than they do on the road, slightly 9-8. But does that worry you about this tandem that has been a wrecking ball in a good way over the past month of the season? Nobody's hotter than the Hurricanes right now. And Mrazek has been great, won 5 out of 6. And then McElhinney, I think, has only lost one game since he's come back.
I love the Hurricanes, and I'm really hoping that they get into the playoffs. I think as fans, just general fans of the game, we all want to see that. We want to see the post-game celebrations. We want to see the dads and their crazy antics and their kind of old-fashioned take on these new celebrations. But you know what? Their hard schedule, they've got a combined 5-9-1 opponent winning percentage, so that's just north of 600. To me, that doesn't really concern me too much. I think with guys like Sebastian Aho, Teuvo Teravainen playing really well recently, 3 multi-point games in his past 5, I think those kind of players, and Dougie Hamilton's really elevated his game. He had a 9-shot game 2 games ago. So I think that their core nucleus is so talented that they can get away playing a little bit of a harder schedule. And I would even double down on that trend and say it's probably better for a team like that to stay competitive in that mindset in these final games to say, you know what, we've got to solidify this third spot in the Metro or wild card one. We cannot take our foot off the gas. And I think, hey, they got the Whalers jerseys for the Bruins game on Tuesday. I think this team is all in, and I think they're going to ride this thing into the playoffs.
And they're one of a few teams that have a difficult schedule that are fringe playoff territory. There's also the Minnesota Wild have the second least favorable schedule. But on the flip side, there's a team like Buffalo who has the third easiest schedule that really can't get anything going more than one single game at this point.
That's a complete wash to me because Devan Dubnyk for the Wild has been so good lately. 5 straight W's above a .940 save percentage. You cannot buy that in fantasy at this time of year. And then for Buffalo, yeah, you mentioned it. It seems like they will win a hard game against a really good opponent and then lose 2 or 3 to very average teams. So you can't get a pulse on that. And for the Jeff Skinner owners out there, you're probably a little bit worried now about the plus-minus. For the Rasmus Dahlin owners, you're probably not expecting the same level of production that we saw from him in January. These games are going to be tight for them, and they're falling further and further and further out of this thing. I think even with a favorable schedule, I just don't see it.
So for Columbus, now another fringe playoff team, right now they're on the outside looking in. Since we last talked, things haven't gone well over the weekend for the Columbus Blue Jackets. They got shut out against the Edmonton Oilers. I don't know if that has happened across the league this season. Have the Oilers shut out anybody else? I would lean towards no. So the Columbus Blue Jackets need to figure out their lines first off. Do they put Duchesne on the top line? Do they put him back there, or do they leave him on the second line? This is a head-scratcher right now.
I can't say I didn't see it coming, Pete. No, I'm just kidding.
It's
been 4 games, so I'm not gonna start playing that one up too much. I think they'll be okay. I think they'll remain competitive. But let's look at the numbers here. Duchesne, 3 points in 5 games, 17.40 a game with the Blue Jackets. Dzingel, 2 assists in 12.53 in 4 games with Columbus. He's only playing just north of 12 minutes a game. That is concerning to me. Do I think they'll break up the Duchesne-Dzingel connection? Probably, if Dzingel is playing that little ice time. Even Bjorkstrand on that line is playing less than 13, which, again, you just can't rely on guys like that in fantasy. So my best case for Matt Duchesne owners is if he gets back up with Panarin, who is the best option, hands down, on that Columbus team.
Does the schedule for Columbus worry you? They have 17 games remaining, and 11 of them are on the road. So that's... that's brutal. 6 home, 11 road. They do have some good road splits, though, that you wanted to mention.
They do have good road splits, 19-10-1 on the road. Bobrovsky's a little bit better on the road this season, 14-9-0 for a .910 save percentage versus sub-900 for his home splits. I think at this time of year, though, that's when these things start to kind of regress to the mean a little bit, where these road games should be, on paper, harder to win for them, and I don't really care that they have a good road split right now. Road games at this time of year are just harder to win because the home team is chances are, if they've got a difficult schedule, the home teams are going to be trying to get into the playoffs too. They're not going to be taking the Columbus Blue Jackets, especially after all the noise that they made at the deadline. That is not going to be a team that they're going to take lightly. So I really do think they're in for a run of it here. And if you have a guy like DeZingle and he's only playing 12 minutes a game, I'd really consider, as of Monday, swapping that guy out for someone that's a little bit of higher ice time.
So would you, for a good example, I guess, if you have DeZingle, would you drop him for a Ryan Donato who's playing really well? He's probably seeing more power play usage with his new team compared to DeZingle, who's not on the first unit. And Donato has been seeing top 6 minutes recently since we last spoke.
Yeah, he's with Eric Staal and Jason Zucker now, which is great lineup placement for anybody that's a forward. Even though Eric Staal hasn't had the season replicated from last year, nonetheless, he's an elite offensive talent. Just because it's not there on paper doesn't mean he's not driving possession. So I really think Ryan Donato is a must-add player for me. If you think back to the trade deadline last week, just before when he was acquired from the Wild, he was at 6% owned. He's up to 29 now. So just put that in perspective, it does create a little bit of a rush situation. The demand is not, you know, is not there in all leagues, but I really think if you're trying to make tough decisions like that, this is the time to take a gamble on the Minnesota Wild and get all in on Ryan Donato.
And Donato has earned that top six right. He's probably going to stick there for the rest of the season. After the Granlund trade, he's looked better than Fiala has, so he gets that edge, at least for the time being. And I picked him up in one of my leagues where I made the playoffs. He's tri-eligible. I didn't think twice about it. He was a great Sunday ad for me yesterday.
And he really can't hurt any of your categories, especially if Minnesota, with their defense, I think, with Ryan Suter leading the NHL in ice time, with Jared Spurgeon being fifth overall in ice time. Those guys are going to help your plus minus, not hurt it, regardless of what's going on out there. But let's look at a team that has the opposite of Columbus. They have heavy home games, which is Vancouver. They have 11 home games left, 5 road. Now, it looks like they've fizzled out kind of, you know, here later in the season here for Vancouver. They hung around for a while. Now, not so much. But do you think this is good news for guys like Jacob Markstrom and Alexander Edler? Maybe give those guys a little bit more appeal down the stretch here.
Markstrom had a really good week. I know he lost yesterday, but his previous two games were lights out. I think it benefits him more than anybody else. He's a viable streaming option. We didn't have him in our top 25 goalie rankings this past week, but he might join it this week. And regardless, he's a middle tier streaming option. I wouldn't say he's lower tier. He's had a really nice season. I just don't trust. One thing I want to emphasize in this show with the schedule and everything, like, I know Patrick Kane has two games this week. Mm-hmm. You might be more inclined to want to think about rostering someone with four games. Mm-hmm. But for certain teams on the good side and the bad side, don't make any extreme decisions. Don't go load up on Vancouver Canucks because they're not worth it. Don't bench Patrick Kane because it won't be worth it.
Exactly. And this is really, this conversation only boils down to that kind of one roster spot you might have a weak link at. This is how you make that weak link a strong link. And you're right. I mean, adding a guy like Alex Edler at this time of year might not be the full recipe for your championship. But if they do have a favorable schedule, chances are it's not going to set you back. And this is the time of year where you cannot have a single setback.
I love it, though, because this is the time of year where you can break the ties by looking at a home split of one team and one player compared to the home road split of an opposing player, and you make your decision a little bit easier, and all your decisions have to be made with the basis of, would I be able to live with this decision if it goes wrong? And in many cases, you can say that you've thought it through and you can make those decisions, but, you know, don't put Patrick Kane on your bench, and then, because you won't be able to live with that.
Yeah, and same goes with Leon Draisaitl. The only two members of the 40-goal, 40-plus assist club, Leon Draisaitl and Patrick Kane, even if Edmonton, I know that they're completely, well, I guess they're hanging around now after two straight wins, but even if things go completely off the rails there, that's just a guy you cannot sit. Other teams with 10-plus home games remaining: Calgary, Colorado, Dallas, San Jose, Edmonton, the Kings, and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, for Colorado, one that jumps out at me, he's 5% owned right now. Derek Brassard, he just gained left-wing eligibility, scored a power play goal on Sunday in their most recent game for the Avalanche. He's playing with Carl Soderberg, who has played really well over the past month of the season. I'll give him a shout-out for that. He didn't really do much before that, but the Avs have gotten a little glimmer of secondary scoring, and Brassard will help with that for the rest of the season. The Avalanche, you mentioned they have the home schedule on their favor. They also have one of the easiest schedules in terms of opponent points percentage. So you'd think the Colorado Avalanche should make the playoffs based on those two things, but who the heck knows? But I would bank on that. I would say the Avs will make the playoffs based on those two things.
The only thing standing in their way is the Arizona Coyotes, who are the hottest team in the league right now with one of the hottest goaltenders in the NHL right now in Darcy Kemper. So I'm really going to have a fun time watching these two teams go head-to-head at the end of the season here.
So one of the tough things that a lot of people are asking, the Coyotes are playing so well. They're going for their seventh straight win on Tuesday night. So the Arizona Coyotes, how do you tap into them from a fantasy standpoint? Because Darcy Kemper's won seven in a row. He has been as good as any fantasy goalie in the entire league, and their depth scoring has kind of been all over the place.
The depth scoring has been a little hard to predict there, but I think now that Derek Stepan is out, which we alluded to in the last program, he's going to miss some time for them. I think you got to look at a guy, Vinny Hinostroza, center, left wing, right wing. He's got all three positions, only 2% owned. He is on fire lately, two multi-point games in his past three. The production is coming for him, and it has been for the last 10 games or so now. He's a guy that, again, if you like this Arizona Coyotes team, which I do, I think they're very underrated on paper. They play a very tight style of hockey. I would get a guy like Vinny Hinostroza in as my last forward and not really even think much about it. I like having that access to one of the trendy teams, and that would be my trendy team pick right now.
Hinostroza showed us a little something last year when he was with the Chicago Blackhawks, and that's a great situation with Arizona. They can bring players in that would normally not be playing in a top six, and all of a sudden they could become fantasy relevant. So you saw what Brad Richardson with the 4-goal game. There's some crazy stuff going on for the Coyotes. Certainly if a Galchenyuk is available in your league or a Clayton Keller, especially if it doesn't count plus minus, those are must own players from a scoring standpoint at the very least.
Now, what would you do for a team? Let's just take San Jose. They have two games this week. So for most people, it would be the quarterfinals of your playoffs. Would you risk, because their offense is so elite, would you risk picking up a guy like Joe Thornton or Kevin LeBanc, 19% owned, left wing, right wing, even though they only have two games this week?
That's really tough. It depends on the state of the rest of your lineup. I think that Joe Thornton, at this point, any given game, he could get you an assist or two. That's just the type of production he's provided over the past 20 or so games. I think he's got 20 points, mostly seven goals and mostly assist over his past 23 games. So, yeah, Joe Thornton, I think, can work in the mix. I would be more inclined, though, to take a guy that, like, maybe a Donato who has three games, or even I know Konechny only has two games, but McCann has four that we mentioned. McCann versus Joe Thornton this particular week, I would probably go with McCann in that match, even though Joe Thornton is Joe Thornton. It's just it doesn't help in terms of the weekly schedule.
I'm with you. I think the security blanket is just higher when you have the additional games. It can't really hurt you is the theme that we want to emphasize here. And I think goaltenders, though, this is the thing where it's going to be really matched up against who their opponent is. I know Brian Elliott, he's been really good lately. Really looks like the Flyers starter. They're going to run into some tougher games here. They play two games this week. I think Brian Elliott is a guy that I would go against that strategy and say, even though they played two games, I would still have him as a starting goaltender because I would feel confident about two solid games of a .935 or above save percentage.
That team's playing really well over the past 20 or so games, the Flyers. I was looking since the start of February, they have the best power play in the NHL, so things have kicked back into form for them. You worry about only two games, but Brian Elliott has looked sharp even before his most recent four starts. He came in relief, looked sharp. Now he's won three out of four the past four starts. So, yeah, the quality versus the quantity, especially for the goaltenders, I think is a big point of emphasis here.
Here we go. Talk about quality versus quantity. Let's go to a fan question. Lloyd Douglas on Twitter, at Winnie Beer Geek, asked me today, Thomas Chabot has been great up until last week. Is he worth holding on to, or is he and the Sens done?
See, that's a tough one. I mean, if you're in a keeper league, you got to hold on to the guy, maybe pick your spots when there's a decent, you know, don't roll him out when he's playing the Lightning like he did on Saturday, but roll him out if it's a competitive game against a lower tier team. That said, I would be more inclined to roster maybe one of those Vegas defensemen that are playing really well lately from Nate Schmidt. I love Shea Theodore's upside. We've been talking about him since the preseason. He is on a tear in terms of the shots and the assists lately. He's got 4 assists over his past 3 games. He's got 17 shots over his past 3 games. I would be more inclined to roster him for a team that seems to be on the uptick. They've won 4 in a row, taking care of business, and Vegas, much, much stronger team than Ottawa, so I would go that route.
And the Senators play the Islanders on Tuesday. It's the start of a home-and-home series for those teams. You just look at Shabbat, he's minus 13 in the past 7 games. It doesn't speak to the quality of player he is. He's obviously a very elite player, especially in fantasy, Pete. But, yeah, I mean, when they have these tough matchups against the Islanders especially, who are reeling a little bit lately, you know it's going to be a tight game. And I just don't feel confident about rostering a guy like Shabbat or Brady Tkachuk just because they're plus-minus could set you, even if they only have 2 games, it could set you into a big hole that you can't climb out of.
I mean, who does he have offensively on his side? I mean, it's not like the days where he had Mark Stone and or Matt Duchene or even Dzingel or some of these decent players. Last year, had even when he came up down the stretch, had a lot to work with, had Carlson, had, you know, some of these Mike Hoffman. I mean, right now it's pretty barren in terms of the talent pool in Ottawa. So, yeah, once again, I would take a pass. It hurts to drop a guy that probably got you to the fantasy playoffs based on his early season production. But you got to do it at this time of year. You got to cut the cord.
This is when you have to make those brash decisions and never look back. You can't sit there and idle about this stuff because you're going to get left in the dust. Someone's going to make a roster move that's going to be better than yours, and you're going to end up playing that guy and losing to him.
How good is, as we talk about waiver wire, how good has Jake DeBrusque been over the past couple of weeks? He's got at least a point in 8 of his past 9. Is that a guy that you drop a bigger name to try to acquire? Because Pasternak's probably going to be out for at least another week or two, and he's playing on power play 1 right now.
Can we just say how unbelievable it is that the Bruins' record without David Pasternak? I thought that injury might have set them back a little offensively. It's honestly helped these secondary guys get more ice time and get the chemistry going.
Yeah, the more I think about that team, who's beaten that team? Maybe other than Tampa, who is going to take down that team in a 7-game series? Even if you included the West teams, I can't name very many.
No, I can't. Not when you're going up against Brad Marchand, Patrice Bergeron, Charlie McAvoy. I mean, even Zdeno Chara, come playoff time, he's got so much experience that he's not gonna leave you out to hang and dry back there. So that Boston team's been great. But as you mentioned, Jake DeBrusque, 49% owned, which has skyrocketed in the last 2 weeks. He was down around the 20s before that. So this is a player, if he's available in your league, you have to roster him. You got to get exposure to that Boston team, and they are so far ahead in the standings now that they can afford to play these sort of secondary scoring guys a lot more down the stretch. That could be the difference maker for you in your fantasy playoffs.
So before we get to the slate here, maybe the biggest topic on people's minds are Erik Karlsson owners. What should they do with this guy? Because he's been battling an injury for the better part of almost 2 months now, since mid-January, and he has only played 5 games in the past 2 months. And it sounds like he might kind of be they might be conservative with him down the stretch in terms of when they play him. This team's trying to win it all. If he's not in the lineup, what is he worth in fantasy? Nothing?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I mean, I don't care what his name is, you know, Crosby, Ovechkin, whatever it is. If he's not playing, he's not going to do anything for you. And the language retweaked a previous groin injury to me. Again, I do not possess an MD, but that does not sound good to me.
No.
So I just think that, you know, I have Erik Karlsson in one of my leagues, and, you know, I was at the top of the standings when he was playing well, and now I've slipped down to 3rd without him in the lineup. So that's the difference that kind of player makes. The kicker here, Pete, he's listed as day-to-day in Yahoo. He's not on IR right now. So you have to drop the guy. You can't even stash him. So, I mean, this is a player you cannot replace, but we'll turn it back to Vegas here. I think Shea Theodore would be the top of the list for that. And then look at Pittsburgh, Justin Schultz with Chris Letang out. That is a must-stream player. And Letang, he skated today as of Monday morning but did not take part in their full practice. So it could be another week there maybe for Letang where we don't know. It could be he's in tomorrow. You know, it's one of those that you just don't know. But Justin Schultz would certainly be the second name on my list that I would have to pick up to try and hope to replace Erik Karlsson.
Well, it sounds like Letang is at least skating on his own. So we'll see what happens with that. But a really interesting dilemma is with this Travis Sanheim guy who's producing at a very high level. I think he's got 12 points in his past 14 games. He's got a 5-game point streak, at least a point in 7 of his past 8. Do you drop or at least bench a Chris Letang or an Erik Karlsson this particular week, even with the Flyers only playing 2 games? How do you handle something like that?
I mean, it sounds ludicrous when we vocalize that, but I think you have to do it. I mean, it's at the point where if Letang doesn't suit up this week and Sanheim does, he will, he's healthy, you have to go with Sanheim. You're going to look back and be like, wow, I just wasted a roster spot on Chris Letang who didn't do anything. So Travis Sanheim, if you would have told me that he was going to lead the Philly blue line in points at this time of the year, I would have looked at you like you were crazy. We had such high expectations and a projection for Ivan Provorov and an even higher projection for Shane Gostisbehere. And I honestly, I don't even feel bad about missing the mark on that one. I mean, that is nearly impossible that those two scenarios both happen this season.
We try to get creative with our bold predictions, but I don't think either of us would have ever dared to touch that one, but it happens. So major kudos to him. He's only about 10% owned and playing for, like we mentioned, one of the hottest teams in the league in the Flyers. So I think he's got to be near the top of the waiver wire list for this week, even with only 2 games. I don't really particularly care. I think he's showing up the other two, and the Flyers will take it from wherever they can get it right now. They don't care what your name is.
And I think that Philly team's talented, too. Like, Travis Konechny's playing so well lately on the top line with Claude Giroux. Like, I like that Philly team a lot. If they can get the consistent goaltending, that is going to be a team that's going to be hard to beat down the stretch. And if they sneak into the wild card 2 spot, I mean, yeah, they'll probably get blown out by the Lightning, but, you know, a lot of teams would. So that's not really a knock on the Flyers, but it would be at least, you know, it's like what happened last year, too, when they matched up against Pittsburgh in round 1. They gave it to Rawl. I mean, Sean Couturier played through, like, a torn, like, MCL or something crazy. He's had, like, hit a multi-point game with the torn MCL or whatever, so.
They were both playing through injury. Simmons was playing through injury. Couturier.
Provorov had one arm. Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, so another team that's in that mix for the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference, and maybe a meeting with the Tampa Bay Lightning that wouldn't be too good. But the Carolina Hurricanes, they visit the Boston Bruins. The Bruins are going to be starting Yaroslav Halak in this game, surprisingly. So do you have a pulse on this game? I mean, I can't bet against the Canes right now, honestly.
I'm taking the Canes. They're wearing the Hartford jerseys. I just like that. I like the jerseys. I just like the jerseys. No, I mean, I really think the Carolina Hurricanes team has been so hot lately, and I love the goalie tandem. I mean, whether they're starting Mrazek or McElhinney, I feel good about both goalies. McElhinney 6-1-0 with a 946 and 2 shutouts in the past 7. Mrazek 5-1-0 with a 940 and also 2 shutouts, but in the past 6. That is crazy. I mean, we had Goalie Master on in the beginning of the year when McElhinney was starting to play well, when he got claimed by the Hurricanes, had a couple wins in a row. Now that he's been healthy and consistently timeshare with Mrazek, they have totally stabilized every position there. The defense is playing better. The forwards are playing with consistency. That is a hard team to beat right now.
And, yeah, 4 shutouts in the past 13 games? I mean, that is, like, insane. So, yeah, the Carolina Hurricanes have some nice, and I guess you maybe call it against the grain at Boston just because of how good Boston's been, but that's one of the games of the night for sure. DeBrusk is a great target for DFS, and then Marcus Johansson on that same line. He hasn't done a ton of damage yet, but if he's on that line with Krejci and DeBrusk, it should continue to roll and eventually trickle over to Johansson.
It should, and he's playing 15-plus a game, which is encouraging to see. So look out for power play time there, too. Keep an eye on him. That's a great little DFS, like, round-out-your-roster type of guy, for sure.
And I like, kind of in DFS right now, spending the moderate price. He's in the $6,000 range for Nino Niederreiter. You look over the past month of the season, 3 Hurricanes forwards are among the top 30 overall players in Yahoo. It's Niederreiter, it's Aho, and it's Teräväinen doing that damage on the second line.
Turbo. I mean, he's on fire. Blue Jackets at Devils. This one, I mean, the Devils today, and now it's Nico Hischier is now day-to-day. Pavel Zacha, who's not been fantasy relevant, but he's also out for their game tomorrow, joins an already long list. Kyle Palmieri, Taylor Hall, the list goes on and on and on. I know that Mike Morial, who writes for NHL.com, and covers the Devils. Someone actually asked him on Twitter, which I mean, it was kind of funny the way he posted, but he's like, are they even going to have enough players for the game tomorrow? It was a serious question. And Mike said yes, but, I mean, if you look at the lineup on paper, I mean, if the Blue Jackets don't win that one, like, that is a fireable offense.
That would be what we were kind of, not joking, but, I mean, honestly, this team was kind of marking it up to try to make a run at the whole thing, the Stanley Cup. They might not even make the playoffs, and then they might have some bigger problems than just their free agents not returning. Some other people might not return if that's the case. So the Blue Jackets are the clear favorite over the Devils. Only Devils that you would even maybe consider, or maybe a Zajac or a Jesper Bratt is back, and Bratt had 2 points in the game on Saturday against the Flyers, which was a lopsided loss, but he gives you some cheap exposure to probably a top line first power play unit just because there's nobody else in the mix right now.
And one of the most bizarre stats you'll read today, Mackenzie Blackwood 0-2-0, but with a .954 save percentage against Boston and Calgary. Really hard to fathom that one. You have to think the Devils, if they had any goal support this season, they wouldn't be as bad as the record indicates.
He's kind of a bottom-of-the-barrel streaming option. I mean, if you're choosing between like a Blackwood or a Jonathan Quick, maybe you go Blackwood. If you're choosing between Blackwood and Alexander Georgiev from the Rangers, maybe you go Blackwood. So I just broke those two ties for you. Hopefully you're not in that scenario for your fantasy playoff run. So now we touched on it earlier, Senators, Islanders, and the state of Shabbat and the Senators. The Islanders need to get probably 3 out of these 4 points or all 4 points. Their lead in the Metro is dwindling, and they're, I think, only 6 points out ahead of the final spot in the Eastern Conference. So all of a sudden things have changed very drastically since that Tavares game.
I wonder if they were so emotionally charged up for the Tavares game that they kind of had nothing left for the couple games afterwards. So we'll see if this might be a nice pick-me-up spot for them, a home-and-home set against a very weak opponent, last place in the NHL. I mean, you have to hope that New York would win this game and stay in the Metro first-place competition. But look at it. They have the second-highest shooting plus save percentage, Pete, which is always an indication of those teams. You end up crashing back down to reality sooner than later, and this one could be happening in front of our eyes right now.
And we were talking about it earlier. There are 15 to 17 games left for most teams, which is more than enough time for a collapse. We always try to look at it from the other side. Oh, a team 6 points out with 15 games to play, can they do it? It works the opposite way too. There are a couple of teams like Columbus or like Carolina, who's playing great now, so maybe doesn't apply to them, but certainly like New York Islanders lead the list of teams that could potentially regress. You hate to say it because they've had such a surprising, uplifting season, but they're at risk of falling out of this thing if they don't take care of business in this home-and-home against Ottawa. They got to win that game on Tuesday night at the Coliseum. They're 1-3 on their homestand right now.
They're just 3 points ahead of Carolina, so pay attention to those two matchups there. Panthers at Penguins, like we said, Chris Letang resumed skating, but still day-to-day. We'll keep an eye on that trend because that's a big impact player for them. I mentioned it, Phil Kessel, 15-game goal drought, I saw the quote today from him. He's wondering if he's ever going to score again this season. I love the sarcasm there from Phil. I think that probably indicates a nice bounce-back spot for him against the Panthers.
Yeah, hopefully that's sarcasm. We didn't actually hear him say it, but hopefully it's sarcasm and not like a state of kind of being bummed out. So we'll see what – I'm sure Phil Kessel, he has a decent shot volume over that stretch and does have 10 assists over the 15-game goal drought. So that at least shows that he's kept it together during his frustrating times. That said, Jared McCann, I mentioned I like him for the week ahead. Mm-hmm. I like him in DFS for this matchup. It's against his former team. You could also look to Bjugstad. I do expect the Penguins to win this game, regardless of the circumstances, who's in, who's out, and I would draft one of those two guys in my lineup, either Bjugstad or McCann, who's on the top line.
And I would take Hornquist out of the whole group for the Penguins there. Frank Vetrano for the Panthers, no points and -7 in the past 7 games. Time to drop that player. I know he's tri-eligible, he does rack up hits, but you cannot afford to sacrifice production at this time of year.
And I saw the last game, Huberto, Barkov, Hoffman. So Hoffman is valuable even when he's on the third line, but now he's on the first line, so he could be a dominant player. You have to start him regardless of format in your season-long league. for the fantasy playoffs.
A must-start play right now is Blake Wheeler, who had 4 goals on Sunday. The top line, Patrick Laine, Mark Scheifele, and Blake Wheeler. I know on the last program we thought that Kevin Hayes might see Patrick Laine join his wing, but this line has been too hot to stop. Patrick Laine stayed hot with 7 points in his past 6 games. Really encouraging to see that player get going, but their goaltending, Connor Hellebuck, who has been vastly disappointing this season, 4-3-0 with a 9-14 in his past 7, which is encouraging that he's playing a little bit better. I think baby steps is good for a player like that. I'm really interested to see if they start Hellebuck versus Vasi.
That was a gut check win the other night against the Predators. And yeah, the Jets seem to be putting up a fight during all the injury absences and line changes. Everything's been going wrong. But if that team heats up at the right time of year, they're going to be very difficult to beat come playoff time. Kevin Hayes, let's lump him into that discussion with Thornton and McCann. Would you go with Kevin Hayes as a center-only guy over those two guys? How do you view his upside? Because he had a 3-point game in that game against Nashville.
So that's it. People are telling me, well, Kevin Hayes has 3 points in 3 games with the Jets. Well, it's just from that one game. So you do have to take that with a grain of salt. That being said, I've always been a big believer in this Jets team, regardless of who's in the lineup, who's out of the lineup, if Dustin Byfuglien's playing, if he's not, if Morrissey's out, if he's not. I've always liked the Jets. So I would say Kevin Hayes, to me, the Jets are just one of those elite, elite teams. There's maybe 3 or 4 of them in the NHL. So, yes, I'd be all over Kevin Hayes. I know he's center only, but I think if you have a weak link at that position, you got to go Kevin Hayes. And maybe I would even go Hayes over a Joe Thornton, over obviously over a Jared McCann for sure. But I would say the Jets right now are a team I feel really strong about.
Now the Jets, we mentioned they beat the Predators. Now the Predators had a tight game with the Wild over the weekend, and now they're going to get back at it with the Wild in the second game of a home-and-home on Tuesday. The game is in Nashville. Are you touching Kevin Fiala? Are you touching Granlund? Are you touching a Wayne Simmonds in this game? Fiala and Granlund are facing their former teams, for what it's worth.
Wayne Simmonds hasn't been playing much. I know that he got into some penalty trouble in the last game, but nonetheless, like, that's a trend that I'm concerned about for sure. Like, I mean, Wayne Simmonds is a guy that you want to, in fantasy, you want him to be playing 15 plus a game. When he's playing 11 or 12, that means power play specialist only role, and the Nashville power play isn't good enough for you to stream a power play specialist from that team. That's just the bottom line. So I'm going to turn back to Wild on this one and get some against the grain. I would like Kevin Fiala. He's got no points in 3 games, but he's playing at least 17 minutes in each game. If I'm spending $4,500 in DFS, you better hope that you're playing 17 minutes a game.
And it's worth noting this Granlund line with Turris and Smith. Turris had a point, I think, on a goal by Philip Forsberg, so he was on the ice with him at even strength, surprisingly. But, yeah, that's the line. They dominated from a puck possession standpoint, a shot attempts standpoint. It didn't necessarily equate just yet, but that's a line to pencil in that could break the slate, the Granlund, Turris, Craig Smith line.
Their centers aren't good enough. I mean, Ryan Johansson is so inconsistent this season. Kyle Turris, I mean, forget about it. The guy hasn't produced nearly at all. So that's the position that really worries me, because we all know at the center icemen, they make the wings play better. They control the flow of play better. When that's not happening, it's going to be very hard for that Predators team, as good as they are on paper, to produce. So I would cherry pick some favorable matchups against them. I think the Wild have a good spot here.
So sticking in the Central Division, the Dallas Stars have a favorable matchup here at home on Tuesday night against the New York Rangers. For the Rangers, though, their goaltending situation, it seems like it's going to be an even split the rest of the way. So if you have a Henrik Lundqvist, I don't know why you still would, but do you consider dropping him for a Georgiev, who's put up a decent save percentage more often than not lately?
I would do it. I just have I would just lean towards the younger player getting maybe another additional game than Lundqvist. We know what Lundqvist has been for so many years. It's no surprises here to be had for the Rangers at the tail end of the season. Coach Quinn confirmed it today, said he would ideally like to split them the rest of the season, but I'd have to give the edge to the younger player in this matchup and moving forward. I just would rather take a flyer on a little bit higher upside than what we've seen from Hank this season.
Now, the hat trick for Jamie Benn in his most recent game, after returning from injury, notches a hat trick, now has an easy game, at least at the looks of it. Do you spend up for him? Do you ride the momentum? Because I've been in the corner of Jamie Benn all season, hoping he'll finish strong, and I think he has the opportunity to do so.
He does it every year. So this is the time when the Dallas Stars are on this slate. Jamie Benn's in the lineup.
So, and then the lines are a little tricky lately. It's been Ben in the game. It was Ben Radulov Sagan, but it was also Ben with Spezza and Joel L'Espérance, who has 44 points in 50 AHL games, was second in the AHL in goals, for what it's worth. So maybe they're just, you know, they recalled him, I think, a week or two ago. Maybe they give him a shot in the top six and see if something sticks, because nothing has this year.
This Dallas team, you just can't sweat the lines because Ben is so elite, because Sagan and Radulov are so elite offensively. You just can't sweat those lines. Ducks at Coyotes to wrap things up here. John Gibson won his first game back, 962 save percentage against the Colorado Avalanche. So very cool trend there for the Ducks. I mean, maybe a little sneaky appeal down the stretch.
And we saw some nice play from Ryan Miller. Some people picked him up. Obviously, you can drop Ryan Miller at this point. If John Gibson's back, he's going to start any game that's not a back-to-back set. But yeah, bravo, John Gibson. Nice breath of fresh air for the Ducks, who have not had much fantasy value. And also, for what it's worth, if Ryan Getzlaff is sitting out there on the waiver wire and you're just picking him up for a week, you normally won't find a name like that on the waiver wire. I would probably lean more towards a Hayes or a McCann or a Joe Thornton at this point. But if you're in a deep, deep league, maybe you give a flyer stab on Ryan Getzlaff.
I'm with you there. A little bit of a against the grain for the Ducks in that appeal. Justin M. Leferb asks on Twitter, Crawford or Kemper? Now, you know, this is a great question, because I think last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, we would have definitely been all in on Corey Crawford. We saw the Blackhawks lose two bad games over the weekend. I'm going to say go Kemper and don't look back on this one.
I agree, and I've been a big advocate of holding on to Corey Crawford during this whole time. That said, the penalty kill is brutal. The defense is brutal. We know that Gustafson's been producing points. We know that Duncan Keith has been producing points. These guys are not strong defensively, and it's eventually going to catch up to them, it seems. I would go Kemper, much more steady back end, penalty kill, defensive structure in Arizona compared to Chicago right now.
And you know, just like opposite the New York Islanders, the Arizona Coyotes are the second lowest shooting plus save percentage in the league. They're still the second lowest, but they're right in the playoff mix. If that goes up at all, this team's going to win games down the stretch. I know Derek Stepan's out, and that does hurt them, but I really believe if that goes up a little bit, if they start putting more pucks in the net on that high shot volume, things are going to go their way.
Maybe the hockey gods will give them a little gift in terms of that luck going back their way, because, I mean, the injury luck has not gone their way. No. Between Schmaltz, now Stepan, Antti Raanta. It's almost amazing that this team, you got to give them a ton of credit. Everything working against them, it seems, and they're somehow in this thing.
Really, really impressive to see that. That'll do it for us for NHL Fantasy on Ice today. Send us more questions on Twitter. We'll help you all throughout your playoff matchups at NHL Reese for myself, at NHL Jensen for Pete, at NHL Fantasy for the both of us.
And subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher. Give us a review on Stitcher or on iTunes if you get the chance. We really appreciate it. And thanks so much for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. We'll talk to you again later in the week.